Saturday, Juneteenth, Freedom Day, John's Chapel, AME Church, Enterprise, Alabama, June 18th, 2022.
Thank you. reading. Then I got a prayer and a scripture reading. We'll have another song from the choir. And then we will go into Sister, amen. Yeah. Shay, amen. Shay number two, amen. That's Shay number one right there, my sister right there, amen. Amen. Yeah. Shay number two, all right, good. All right, so follow that order. I couldn't choir my song, okay? All right, let's do right now for our prayer. Come on,
amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, saints. Today's another day that the Lord has made. I shall be glad and rejoice in it. And what a great day it is to be with you. Amen. I'm just thankful for allowing God to send me here this afternoon to praise you with Minister Wright, with Pastor Wright, and to be here today with John Chapel. I just thank God for all that has transpired today. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, it's once again we come before you just to say thank you, Father. Thank you for another day's journey, Father. Father, we thank you for this today's celebration, Father. We thank you for what it has meant in the life of our people. Father, you brought us from a mighty long way. Father, you've kept us over the years, Father. When we were down, we were never out. So, Father, we thank you for the journey. We thank you for the struggles. We thank you for lifting us in our most lowest point, Father. Father, we just thank you for being God all by yourselves. For sure. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture this evening, this afternoon, comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 through 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, God's word for God's people.
Reeves from Pastor White, and What Is Juneteenth by Sister Nicole Nichols. Amen. While Sister Shay is coming, I want to commend Sister Nicole Nichols for, amen, putting all this together. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all, give my hand a praise. Amen. Amen. Come on. And the church family rallied with her, and we're able to nail it all for the glory of God. We'll hear more. Amen. Come on, sis. Come on. Bless you.
The blood. His grace and His mercy. And I give honor to Pastor White, to Reverend Eddie Thomas, to our other minister, and to Mrs. White, the other minister's spouses, and to each of you, my brothers and sisters. I'm happy to be here today to welcome you to John's Chapel, AMA Church, 605 Geneva Highway in Enterprise, Alabama. Amen. One and the only. So whatever road you took to come in here, we're happy that you took that road to come right here. I want to tell you that we're so thankful for the spirit of Juneteenth. Juneteenth is not a black holiday. Juneteenth is an American holiday. It's a time for celebrating America coming to its senses and acting like it all acts. Amen. So we want to welcome you with that same spirit of love, of unity, and of just doing what's right in the eyes of God. So when you come to John's Chapel, we're going to welcome you and treat you with a Juneteenth spirit.
Yes.
We're going to say to you that when you come here, you're going to be love Juneteenth style. Amen?
Amen.
When you come here, no matter where you've been, where you come from, or which ship your ancestors came over on, we're going to love you in a Juneteenth kind of way.
Yes.
So we're here every Sunday starting around 10:40, 10:45. Come on over and be with us. We're here on Wednesday night for Bible study online, on Zoom. So we'd like for you to just come and be with us. In the meantime, celebrate Juneteenth every day, not just this time next year. Amen? So on behalf of Pastor Mrs. White and the members of John's Chapel, we don't know any other way to say it except you're in the right place at the right time. Amen.
Thank you to establish protocol with you, acknowledge the glory of God here in our church this afternoon. Thank God again for all of you all. Keep yourselves a hand of praise. Amen. 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 Participators and not spectators, for being givers and not takers, for being children of God. And give yourselves another hand of praise. Amen. Best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second time to plant a tree is right now. Amen. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is right now.
Yes.
That's my greatest. Thank you.
Yes.
And I'm trying not to cry because I almost started crying on the movie on the parade route. My heart's so filled and I'm so happy how it really turned out. So. Happy. So I'm trying to get through this part. But what is Juneteenth? So I know for myself, it wasn't until I was probably in college that I was really heard about Juneteenth. And as you know, it marks when the last set of slaves were actually free. And so I was trying to know the calculation 157 years ago. That's how long all of us technically have been free. And so I thought about it, but this year, a lot of times God just gives it to me at the last minute. But I don't know how many of you are familiar with school days. And so you had the character of Lawrence Fishburne was outside saying, wake up, wake up. And so I was like, that's what we need to do, because there's so many times we're asleep. And we had this freedom that we had 157 years, but a lot of times, a lot of us are still asleep. And so what are we doing, like, within our families, within ourselves, within our community, the city, the state, the country? What are we doing? Are we waking up? Are we taking advantage of our freedom? And so I'm going to read this poem quickly entitled Juneteenth. It says, we carry liberation in our cheekbones. We fold the stories of our ancestors into song, into science, into fashion, into food, into innovation. We follow the recipe and the legacy of our people, and it is there we nourish ourselves. We gather here together to bring ourselves to the table where love is always served. Let's come home to each other. We are our own harvest. We are our own healing place. We gather here together to heal, to remember ourselves of a freedom song, to sing those who may not feel like singing, to sing for those who may not feel like singing, to sing for those who are no longer here to sing, to honor the freedom we have, and to fight for the freedom we have yet to see. We rest and we protest. We pick beans and pop gum. We pontificate and we fix grandma on a plate. Our joy is our resistance. Our beauty is our glory. Our courage is our resilience. Our freedom is written in the follicles of our hair. And each other, we have the strength for this journey. So I say to you today, we need to wake up, come together, and embrace our freedom and move on. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Pastor White and Moody, Chairperson. I'm here again to introduce Ed Walton Thomas. Most of y'all already know him. But this is a special day, a different kind of day. Today is a day of celebration. And like you, Ed Walton Thomas descended from slaves who were snatched from Africa, were part of the North Atlantic slave trade, endured slavery, chattel slavery in these United States, Jim Crowism, and second-class citizen. He is also a descendant of those who persevered after Freedom Day. The first thing we did, we got to get together. You know, black people always want to get together. So we started getting together to help things. And he is a part of that because he's a Mason, he's an Alpha, because we got together not for fame, because we want to help our people.
Yes.
That's very important. And what I want you to understand that because of the way we are poised to celebrate today. And I want you to know that it's good that we are here today, because his background, his ancestry, experience, and education has prepared him to give us a message for such a time as this. Every time he's a student of history, he knows too much history. Because every time I ask him a question, he asks me, "Do you remember?" I say, "No, I don't remember none of that." He is a son of Morehouse. He is a follower of the way. He is a pastor, a teacher, a father, a grandfather. I present Eddie Thomas.
Thank you for the pastor, other ministers of the gospel who share this moment with us. All of you, my brothers and sisters in the struggle for liberation, it is good for us to be here. But as I always say, it is not necessary for us to stay here. I was really glad when I came up and saw Pastor White with his ICD on, because I have a suit coat out in the car, and I said, "I'll faint if I put that thing on." For a few minutes, and since I've been preaching, I make no apologies for it. I have to root all of my comments in the biblical text. And in Psalms 118, verse 24, which Pastor Moody alluded to when he stood, says this: "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it, and we will be glad." How to make the most of this day? How do we make the most of this day? And it is set up by the theme that Nicole has chosen. We make the most of this day by waking up. By waking up and remembering our history. Because I say to you without any reservation that those who forget that history,
yes, sir,
they are doomed to repeat that
history. Yes, sir.
And the tragedy about us as a people is we have not only been robbed of much of our history, but we've been encouraged to forget our history. We would not expect Jews to forget the Holocaust. So why should we forget our experience? We would never ask Native Americans to forget the trail of tears that moved them from one side of the Mississippi River to the other. We don't expect apostles told me to forget slavery. And if the Jews can remember the Holocaust, if Native Americans can remember the Trail of Tears, then we should never forget the horrors of slavery that our ancestors experienced. We need to wake up and remember that no matter how we try to walk away from it and ignore it, we are a product and we are a byproduct of our history. The German philosopher Hegel said, "It is not enough that you abolish slavery, but you must also change the attitude of slavery that existed in the minds of both the former slave and the former slaveholder." And that can never happen unless we address the problem and realize that American slavery was not a real poison. It was symptomatic of a deeper poison. I'm going to say that. Slavery was not the poison. Slavery was a symptom of the poison.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Why do you say that, Eddie? I say that slavery was not the poison because had slavery been the poison, then the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment would have been the antidote. But American slavery was different from every other form of slavery in human history. American slavery was race-based slavery. Slavery has existed in cultures throughout history in every area of this planet, but what made American slavery different was it was race-based. Usually people went into slavery because, number one, they lost the war, or they couldn't pay their debts. And so that meant you could always come back and win the war, raise enough money and get out of debt. But American slavery was race-based. You became a slave not because you lost the war, not because you couldn't pay your debt, but because the sun kissed you too long. So slavery wasn't the problem. Slavery was a symptom of the deeper problem, which was racism. Racism is America's problem. Because you see, even after slavery ended, the poison still remains. And I got news for you. Wake up. The poison is still there. Let me bore you with the history lesson.
Come on. Be very sweet.
We're here today because of a celebration born out of conflict between North and South, between slave states and free states. Lincoln moved to issue the Emancipation Proclamation against his first wishes. Go back and read the correspondence of Lincoln, and at the beginning of the war, he says he has no intention of dealing with slavery anywhere where it exists. His aim is to save the Union. He says himself, if I can save the Union by freeing no slaves, I will do it. If I can save the Union by freeing some slaves, I can do it. Whatever I do with slavery, I do to save
the Union.
The Union.
Oh.
things went from bad to worse. The law said for Sumter, the law said first and second battles of Bull Run, first and second Manassas. Loss after loss after loss. Lincoln writes in his diary, things have gone from bad to worse, and I felt that I'm at the end of my rope and I must play my last card or lose the game. And after the Battle of Antietam in September, he says to his cabinet as a war measure, if the Southern states do not end the fighting by January 1st, I will free the slaves. If they stop fighting, the slaves are still slaves. They didn't stop. One of the things that I read my mouth to bother with nobody else to do, I was talking about what they did. Folk over watch me. They asked me, Pastor, you have watched me? I said, no, I haven't watched me. I'm being very sweet that time. I said, because I know why we're watching. Black folk in 1863 gathered in their churches on the last night of the year to watch, to see if Lincoln would sign. And at 12 o'clock, Frederick Douglass walked in the back of one of the churches and stood in the aisle and shouted, shout the travail o'er Egypt's dark sea. Jehovah had triumphed. Our people are free. Lincoln had signed his emancipation. So I don't have to watch because I know he signed. A proclamation which says, as of January 1st, 1863, all persons held in bondage now in states in rebellion against the United States shall henceforth and forever be free.
Hallelujah.
But that proclamation was a military document. It only came into force when the military took over an area, and as that Union Army moves across the South from state to state, slavery ends in each state as that army enters. Now, some of you here old enough to remember in Alabama, it was a twin way. My grandma and her generation celebrated the 20th of May because that was the day the Union Army came through here. Okay. The last state to fall was Texas, June 19th. But what that did, it really created a problem. Because it did not free slaves in Missouri, Delaware, Maryland, West Virginia, Kentucky, the so-called border states, because they never left the Union. And the proclamation said the states now in rebellion shall be free. So the result is now you have a strange situation where certain people in the Deep South are free, but those in the border states were still slaves. And that's even a deeper problem. And that problem was addressed by the 13th Amendment, which says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the confines of the United States. That created that sob, that dilemma, but the poison still remains. Because slavery was not the poison. Racism, bigotry, the idea of racial superiority was the real problem. Because remember, the Tony Court had ruled in Dred Scott that black folk were not persons, they were property. The real problem was this idea of racial superiority. And so what had happened once slavery officially ended, something else was put in place. A system of Jim Crow. Separate but equal. A crop lien system and a slave convict lease system that was in many ways actually worse than chattel slavery, so that black folk, rather than becoming the slave and being the slave of one person, becomes the slave of a whole society. We need to wake up and remember that freedom was not given to us. It was won with blood, sweat, toil, and tears. Theodore Johnson, in one of his books, says that there was something strangely malignant about the American system, that black folk had to struggle and fight and march and protest and die to get up what all folk get by simply being born. When you remember that, you can say with an uplifted voice, with James Weldon Johnson storming, the road we trod, bitter, the chastening rod, fell to the land, when the hope of God had died yet, when a steady beat had not our weary feet come to a plain from which our fathers sighed, we have come. Over way that with tears has been brought. We come shedding our blood through the blood of the slaughter. We need to wake up and remember. Remember your history. But you also need to wake up and assess the present. You just assess the present. I hate to rain on your parade, but I am speaking of history. Every right that was won in Reconstruction was lost within 10 years. And we need to wake up and remember, if we are not vigilant, all the gains we have made in the past can so easily and quickly be lost in the present. I got some Bible on me, Greg. Jesus tells a parable. Some fellows who went out and sowed good seeds in the field, but come back and says, "Wow, we were stupid." And the enemy went in, sowed some tares in the midst of the field. I hate to shock you, but while we've been sleeping, and the enemy has been beat. He has sown some bad seeds within our community while
sleeping.
We were sleeping. Drug addiction has become rampant in our community, and we don't own no meth labs, and we don't own no puppy fields. We can't even grow good turnip. I ain't the devil's new name, Reverend. I would say Yeah. We make the most of this day by waking up. And remember with Jefferson that eternal vision is the price for freedom. Yeah. It's getting late in the evening.
All right.
And I still got to preach in the morning. So I'm about to close, but when a black preacher said that, that really don't mean nothing. But he gonna say it at least 3 times. Now I go to my sleep in my conclusion, and as I close, so that's just the first time. But I close with a story that my daddy used to tell, of a little boy who lived in a house that had an old grandfather clock that would strike the hour. And one night, the boy had gone to bed at 10 o'clock, his normal bedtime. But for some reason unknown to him, the clock malfunctioned. And he's there in the bed and he hears the clock strike 10. But then, much to his surprise, it strikes 11. He sits up in the bed and the clock now is striking 12. He's standing up on the floor as the clock strikes 13. And now he's running down the hallway toward the living room where his parents is as the clock is striking 14. And he starts shouting, "Y'all need to get up and wake up, because it's later now than it's ever been before." Well, I don't know about you, but when I look across the landscape of America and see things happening every day, I hear the clock striking 13 and 14. I remind you, you need to wake up, because it's later now than it's ever been before. When I see the right to vote being slowly eroded by repressive legislation, by reactionary liberal decisions, I tell you, you need to wake up, because it's later now than it's ever been before. When I see a society turning away from the principles of justice and equality and embracing inequity as part of a political philosophy, I must say, wake up, for it's later now than it's ever been before. How do you make the most of this day? You wake up and remember. You wake up and reassess. But the text says you also wake up and rejoice. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Be glad that God is still in control. Rejoice in the knowledge that the slave was correct. He's got the whole world in his hand. Nelson Mandela calls the long walk to freedom.
Get everything together, but I can't take credit. I can't cannot take credit. I want to first give credit to God for everything coming together in the way it did. And I definitely want to give credit to my church family, my pastor, Nikki, Lorene, Marge, Davis. Whenever I just text them, like, can you please do this? Without hesitation, they're like, whatever you need, we're here. And so I give them more credit than myself, because there's times I was like, okay, I got this to do, and they were just ready to do it. And so going forward, I said every year, like, we need to get a committee together, and so that's what we're planning on next year. As soon as everything wraps up, we're going to start working on a committee, and that's not just with our church, with John's Chapel, but with the city. And so if any of you are interested in helping getting Juneteenth 2023 started, just contact myself, Pastor Nikki or Lorene or Miss Marge, and we'll go ahead and start working on a team. If you don't want to be on the committee, you just want to help, like, with the parade or get things together for the program, just let me know and we'll go from there. But I just want this to continue and get bigger and better and go from there. So again, I thank you all for coming out, supporting the vendors, supporting the program, and just, my heart's full. So thank you.
Good. Amen. Bless you. All the pastors, the ministers who are here, please stand. Let's acknowledge all the pastors, the preachers who are here. Amen. 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 Come on, let's give them a hand of praise. Amen. 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 Let's go. Let's go. You want to wear? Y'all want to greet us? Come on, Reverend. Listen.
Hello, I'm Barbara Wilson. I am a pastor of Allen Chapel, African Episcopal Church in Skipperville. I would have faith had I not seen the goodness of the Lord here. An enterprise in the land of the living. God bless you and thank you for one
of them. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Come on, bring it. The Pastor Samir, Pastor of St. Jude Baptist. I had a wonderful time. Words came from the strengths. And as far as you know, I did a wonderful job. I do want St. Jude to be a part of that. We want to be a part of it. I think it is necessary that we, Melatonin, try to unite across whatever border denomination there is. But yes. So when we get that together, we can't count us in. Amen.
Bless you. Anyone else? Anyone, Pastor, preacher? Minister, you good? Good.
Good. Praise the Lord, saints. I'm Reverend Eric Wood. I'm a new pastor of Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church. And also, I would like to, Morning Star, we talked about it, we would also like to offer our services next year, whatever we can do to help make this bigger and better.
That's right.
Hey, you got them, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Sister White, you free staying? Again, we say thank you to Nicole. Thank God for being a willing vessel, having a desire to listen to the voice of God and be obedient to the voice of God. We're here to support the endeavors that God has poured upon the hearts of his people. And as your pastor preacher, we are very flexible. As long as, you know, it doesn't go against the vision that God has given me. As a pastor, we are in good shape. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God does mean decent and what? Order. Amen. Amen. So bless you all. Thank God for you. We're here to support. We get a lot of calls. A lot of people calling in. Ready for next year, 2023. We're going to have some good stakeholders in 2023. Amen. Amen. I believe in stakeholders. Amen. Thank God for them. So we are here again, ready to do what God has called us to do. Thank you, choir. Let's get a choir back.
Tula, to the team, we say thank you. And to our guests, our visitors, we say thank you. To vendors, for everyone working here in our church. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Amen.
Amen. We are in this together. She said it takes a team effort. I'm on her team trying to stop her from doing this.
Amen.
That spirit of retardation on my part. I'm sorry. Everybody is struggling. I'm so sorry. My sister Thomas, I'm so sorry. No! I mean, you struggle with me a while. That's all right. And move on and move forward from there. Thank you. Any more announcements? We got to go. Okay, so we finished the hour of power. We started at 2 and we out of here 3. All right, here go our preacher. Thank God for him. Let's give him a hand and pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Pastor. Thank all of you. Thank you for the invitation. Thank all of you for sharing. Will you stand? Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace in your going out, in your coming in your laughter, in your leisure, in your triumph, and even in your tears.